So, dear friends, it is now June the 2nd, 2010, just about a couple of years away, 2012ers. Heads up, we're talking about not only the supernatural side of what will, well, ramp up during the last days, but also the moral side. I want to welcome everybody tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And we're ready to go into session number 3 of the series this week called Homosexuality, the Military, and What Are You Fighting For? Monday night, the title was Homosexuality, the Military, and What is Normal at the End of Days? Tuesday night, 7 p.m., is Homosexual Activism and the Demand to Change Everything, and they mean everything. And then tonight now is Homosexuality, the Idea of Civil Rights, Special Rights, or Neither, or the Real Reason for the Demands. Monday night when we talked about the issue of homosexuality in the military and U.S. politicians playing the game of forcing the military to negate the policy, which means that the door will be open for a public declaration. You know, there may be a day in which, like in San Francisco, there will be Gay Pride Week in the military. Now, the reason I bring this up is that it doesn't stop with just being told to accept homosexuality or gays and lesbians. It's not the individual, the human being. It's the practice. It's the issue of the practice. There is a propensity, a drive. There is a psychological, but it's also a spiritual drive to somehow bury the conscience of humanity, let alone the gay or the lesbian, and take the natural use and exchange it for unnatural and abnormal, and then declare it to be absolutely normal with special rights and special privileges. Tonight, as we delve into the third part three on this, we'll touch on the fact of civil rights, special rights, or neither. And why is there a drive? Why does the gay and the lesbian seek civil rights, special rights? Why not bisexuality? Why not adulterers? Why can't adulterers come out and say, listen, you know, even though we're committing adultery, even though we're hurting our family, even though we're mixing it up out here and changing everything, we're going to decide that we want to demand politicians in America to allow us not only to remain married to our spouse that we're cheating on, but demand that they do not tell us that it's abnormal, that it's wrong, that it's sin. We demand that if they tell us that it's wrong or sin or abnormal to commit adultery, we want to enact hate crime laws. We want civil rights as adulterers. Listen, it's a sexual issue. Does the adulterer love on a sexual basis and maybe on an emotional basis the person they're committing adultery with? Well, in many cases. Listen, again, I've counseled people for over 35 years. In my offices, we've heard just about every possible scenario. And we've heard all of the different kinds of excuses and issues and dysfunction and problems that literally sin brings into our lives. Because lying will bring, we'll reap from it. We'll reap from cheating. We'll reap from stealing. And this is just part of the way, listen, we've been created for majesty and beauty and brilliance and a walk with God. Now, in chucking all of that, we want to change everything. We want to take the train off the tracks and demand civil rights so that it can run itself through the swamp. But somehow, some way, it just doesn't function well. It doesn't seem to work. Well, that's going to be the issue we're going to deal with tonight. I've got three major points that we will deal with tonight. The idea of outlawing the church, outlawing the Bible, outlawing freedom of speech is part of the issue of gays and lesbians politically lobbying and seeking laws that would be written to force language such as, well, what I'm saying right now. If I'm to say homosexuality is abnormal or that it is a sin, that it doesn't really work and function well, that it's not really a marriage, well, then the goal is to have that speech absolutely censured, declared hate speech, and to be absolutely thrown out. We will get into this issue tonight in the United States of America, and I will say to you again across the board, don't just sit back. You're going to have to be involved with great, fierce prayer and action as a believer in Christ. The greatest place, the most powerful place, the most transforming place is evangelism. And so I will encourage the believers in Christ to do what God says to do in the way that God says to do it, and find out that that brings the best results of God's grace, power, and his work to transform lives and families and cities and even strike a nation. It is now Wednesday, June the 2nd, 2010. We are together for 1 hour on this Wednesday night, and we trust that it's a divine appointment, that it's the providence of God, and that it's a great thing and a privilege to be with you tonight. I want to say that if you want to, from time to time, send me an email. This is Rustizdar, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Now, that's the email address. Glad to report to you that we were able to go through about 35 emails today and begin to catch up a little bit. We'll try to do between tonight and tomorrow another 100 emails, because we're about 780 behind. Now we're down to about, well, we're down to 712, and we're trying to get to those who are now going to be daily sending stuff. And we've got a few that have come in the last couple of days, and I want to mention one of those in just a moment that came in yesterday. Let me mention, first of all, something that's in the news. A number of people sent this to me already this day. And I want to say I appreciate, we have friends out west, down in Texas, all the places around the nation. And I appreciate you sending me a heads up on news and the things that are going on. There is another killing spree that is very similar to the MO, the mode of operation, of a satanically programmed chosen one that we wrote about in the book. The idea of an assassin, the idea of a killer, the idea of chaos, the idea of anarchy, the shedding of blood. And then when it's over, the programmed immediate response of taking their own lives, suicide programming. Now, I do not know whether Derek Byrd in England was a chosen one, whether he was mind controlled. But it's very similar to what this is all about when it comes to those still intact and will be involved in the great chaos to come. U.S. and world, here's the news. The title of it is At Least 12 Dead. 12 Dead as a man goes on in the U.K. a shooting spree. London, the Associated Press says, quote, a taxi driver drove his vehicle on a shooting spree across tranquil stretch of northeast England on Wednesday, methodically killing 12 people and wounding 25 others before turning the gun on himself, officials said, unquote. Now, it doesn't go in again to all the reasons. It talks about everybody being shocked, the county, everybody's obviously. Again, this shows the vulnerability of society. It absolutely does show the vulnerability. Think in terms if 500,000 individuals were released in the United States in the same week that all went on a shooting spree like this, all over the place. And the responses of martial law enforcement and SWAT teams and everybody on alert and who's going to be driving on the streets. Well, that's what the book, The Black Awakening, is all about. And we hope you got a copy, and we hope to have the fresh edited and hardback and large print editions up here soon, too. We're working on some other books, but we're dealing with the radical evil, the rise of and ramping up of this radical evil that's going on around the world. Now, this one story doesn't tell us whether this guy is or is not, or was not involved in any kind of programming, but it shows the kind of MO. Do I believe that spirits can guide and drive in the idea of criminology? Can that be the motivation in crime? Obviously, yes. I will once again remind you of a book called Programmed to Kill, last name of the author, McGowan, in which he goes back to Henry Lee Lucas and many others, serial rapist killers and so forth. They were multiples that had programming that subpersonalities did the killing. So let us keep an eye on the shooters. The VTech shooter, once again, like many of them, said to have never used a gun, did not have a gun, was not a violent person. But yet they go out in a blaze of, with a VTech shooter, the 60% kill rate, the accuracy issue, the absolute ability to chain people in, lock doors, kill the most. That's the concept of even, and I'm going to be doing a series on the Four Horsemen coming up in a few weeks. The white horse, red horse, so forth. And the red horse, the Greek word pyros, the idea of a fiery, blazing, breaking out, but on the earth, globally, not just in England or at VTech or at Columbine or in Germany, or in Finland. We're talking about a global situation where peace is taken from the earth. And it says that mankind, they begin to butcher one another, kill, slaughter one another. And so on a larger scale, this will occur, and it's coming, and this is something we need to, again, not just in the sense prepare ourselves for, but those who are believers in Christ need to be engaged with the mission of God, which, again, I'm going to say, brings about the greatest protection, the greatest power, the greatest fruit, the greatest demonstration of God's activity when we do His will, when we do the mission. And So let me encourage believers tonight. There is a place for you to make massive, massive impact in the world. I was reading today in some devotion. I got the scriptures I want to memorize too. Out of the parable of, the Lord giving the talents, and some take them and bury them. Some take them and do a little bit. But when you read the scripture and Jesus says how some will take the word of God, and they'll put it into practice in such a way that they will produce 30 or 60 or 100 times more than was sown into them. The opportunity for every believer listening to me right now to see your life become a massive, massive impact spiritually for good. Good in the individuals around you. Good in the family line that you're in. Good in the city, in the workplace, the school place, the nation. See, the nation that we live in right now, and I keep saying, don't give it to the dogs. Don't give it to the dogs. You're going to have to pray with fierce prayer against all radical evil, against everything that is against the idea of lawlessness, the spirit of Antichrist. You're going to have to live as light in the world. And yes, why give the political realm to everyone that wants to, you know, connect to globalism and ultimately prepare everybody for the coming Antichrist? It's better to get up. Listen, who's ever in charge of making laws and the new hate crime speech laws and the goals I've heard today on radio and internet and television, where the goal eventually is going to be to censure cable and internet news and blogs and everything about the concept of freedom of speech and the threats to come against it. So keep your eyes on that, because it really depends on those who are in charge. In Germany, it was the Nazis that began to spy on everyone, to train fellow citizens to spy on others, to see if anybody was going to speak against the regime or be someone who would not cave into the rise of the Nazi system. And in the United States of America, if there are those in political ideology that want to change America into something else and then want to gain control in and among the feds to censure speech, to maybe cut you off the air. I mean, if you listen, the idea of I think radical evil is if you can't persuade everyone in your position, just pull the plug on them speaking out against it, reasoning with the rest of society. So what I'm doing right now, if there's a reasoning, and I'm going to say in the context of spirituality and tonight of homosexuality, the gay activists that may listen to this or listen to it later in an archive, do I not also have freedom of speech? Do I not have the right in the United States to speak my opinion? And if you're listening to me at all in this series, you're hearing me say that the primary motivation, number one, in the context of this topic is to say, for anybody that wants to know God, to reach God, to have the living presence of God come into their life, to know about salvation, Jesus Christ, and what he did at the cross, that's the centrality of all that I'm talking about. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And thousands and thousands and thousands of ex-homosexuals, gays and lesbians, have turned to Christ and have turned away from that lifestyle and are now living, a man is a man, a woman is a woman, a man loving another woman or a woman loving a man. What gay and lesbian and homosexual society would call straights. Now, when we get to the topic on hate speech, then we need to include, is it right for gays and lesbians to have a parade in which they mock Christ, dress as a pink Jesus, declare Jesus a gay, or artisans to take the crucifix, turn it upside down, and set it in urine? I mean, is the current administration's drive concerning hate speech driven by behind-the-scenes gay and activist lobbyists? Everybody's got to know that laws get enacted because somebody's lobbied, somebody's pulled the strings on senators and congressmen and pushed for a law to be enacted. And if you're an alert American, if you're Canadian, depending on where you live in the world, you've got to fight for your nation, number one, because according to Romans chapter 16, and again, it's very clear from a believer standpoint, I'm coming from the background of a believer in Christ, saying that God's will is for a nation, the entire nation, to turn to God, to turn to Christ, and to follow Christ. That it's part of the entire prophetic and progressive revelation of God, part of the plan of God. God wants to bring his love, his forgiveness, his salvation, his protection, his guidance to an individual and, listen, my friends, to a nation. So as believers in Christ, don't just give up, sit back somewhere and watch hell begin to ascend and do nothing. Jesus taught the parable about having the talents and you go off and bury them and do nothing with what God has given you. And listen, you're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be dealt with as a believer, whether good or bad was done in your life. Judgment begins at the house of God. How can we neglect so great a salvation? How can we neglect so great the power of prayer? The ability to live as light in the world around us. The ability to take the gospel. Listen, we've led Satanists to Christ. We've led Wiccans to Christ. We've led atheists to Christ. We've led homosexuals to Christ. We've seen the power, the love of Jesus Christ change lives, thousands now over the years. And so it's very vital that we get a message out that says to the gay lesbian community, to the homosexuals in Canada, in Australia, in America, all across Europe, wherever, doesn't make any difference, that the fight to justify the sin will include the demand to make everybody say it's normal, but it won't stop there. The demand to enact laws that nobody can say it's abnormal. Nobody can say it's a sin. Nobody can say it's wrong. Nobody can say it's second class. It's not about even the concept of a civil right, which we will, well, we're going to get into in the political realm, in the activist realm tonight. Let me mention a couple things before we get into the three primary points tonight. Now, I mentioned on Tuesday night that the propensity, the drive, there is a psychological drive, a mixture of the sin's nature, sin nature's goal to justify the conscience. You could read about that in Romans chapter 2. The conscience, as in fallen humanity, will either try to, the conscience will either accuse or we will try to excuse our issues of sin. There are those that commit adultery that do everything they can to justify it. There are those that are having sex with others prior to marriage, and they're going to try to justify it. There are those that have taken advantage sexually of others. So we all know, you know, there are lines that are drawn. There's morality. Can a 35-year-old man have sex with a 12-year-old girl? No. Can a 28-year-old school teacher, like here in our area, go out and have sex with 11 and 12-year-old boys, or attempt to? It's been done, it's being done, but it's wrong. There is a right and a wrong, and the bottom line is, someone would scream at me, who are you to say? Well, my question would be, who are you to say? And where is a sense of bottom line or source? Now, of course, biblically speaking, there's a source that we would refer to. And we would say God has consistently and clearly revealed his will. And the spiritual and moral will of God is inseparable. It is absolutely inseparable. You right now as a believer in Christ, if you go out and sin morally, you know that that will grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the fire of the Spirit of God in your life, and bring a dampening to the beautiful spiritual life you could have. That's what sin's all about. If you go out and start lying all over the place, you're going to be grieving the Spirit of God. If you go out cheating everybody, you're going to be grieving the Spirit of God. If you go out sexually sinning, you're going to be grieving the Spirit of God if you're a born-again believer. And that means you are making the Spirit of God sorrowful. That means conviction will come. And if you're not going to listen to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, to other believers, then God is going to bring discipline. You ever read it in Hebrews 12? Hebrews, listen, some of you listening right now might be going through discipline, where God has had to come into your life and make something very painful to get you to stop going back to the old flesh. Opening doors to the enemy. Neglecting. Now, I want to say again tonight, we're talking about the incredible presence, power of God to change lives. And the reason we need to be strong, the reason I need to be strong when it deals with homosexual activism is that whatever I've read, whatever I've seen, and when I've engaged face-to-face in discussion and being screamed at and having things thrown at me and being cussed out, and being called a Nazi just because I said Jesus Christ was not a homosexual, and that you have no right to strip him from the scriptures and reduce him to that situation. Oh, man, you should have seen the reactions. As a matter of fact, let me tell you tonight, as I reveal to you what occurred at the University of Akron, when I engaged the Gay Lesbian Task Force, when we began to have interaction discussion, when we wanted to share our side, our opinion, our information, while, listen, we were screamed at, yelled at, people who were saying to me, that's hate speech, were saying it with such venom, such hatred, as they threw things. One threw a condom at me. About a year later, this is a true story, I tell it before you and before God, a year later or so, the president of the Gay Lesbian Task Force at the University of Akron, his name was Michael. He contacts me and tells me his name and asks me if I remembered the engagement, you know, when I came down there and interacted. I said, yes, of course. He wanted to meet with me. So I asked if we could meet at a public restaurant with, you know, a lot of people around just in case anything crazy went on. So we met at the public restaurant, and Michael sat down, welcomed me, shook my hand, and I was a little bit defensive or on guard because I didn't have any idea what was going on. This is the guy that yelled at me and cussed at me, and threw one of them threw the condom at me. He told me that after being a head of the Gay Lesbian Task Force, he went off to Florida, that he couldn't stand the violent and the dysfunction and the hate, anger within the gay community. That he left it. That he left homosexuality. At that present time, he said he began to work with Habitat for Humanity or Building Homes, something like that. But he wanted to come to me and tell me that he had changed his life, or that his life was changed, that he turned to God, that he knows that it was right. But he wanted to inform me. Now listen to this. The ex-head of the Gay Lesbian Task Force, University of Akron, deciding to change, contacts me a year later, must have remembered the engagement, and was literally saying to me that the men, the guys, got together after I had been there to share publicly and to speak against them when they came out talking about Jesus being gay, that they were plotting that the next time I would come to do that, that they would literally kidnap me and, in a homosexual way, of course, rape me. And force me to experience their lifestyle. I am telling you this as the truth before God. I am telling you that that was the plot and the plan. And what Michael did not know is the third time I went down to go to the public meeting in which the newspaper of the university, newspaper individuals were there. It's very, very public, and you're supposed to be allowed to be able to speak and share. That my truck had hit a, I don't know what it was, something, anyway, went flat. I couldn't make it. Maybe the providence of God that kept me from going. I know that if I would have been attempted to be kidnapped in that realm, I would have fought into death, no matter what it took. And I think that this again shows where a lot of the hate is. I see, evangelistically, we've taken teams and gone into gay, lesbian bars. We have gone to these kind of meetings. We have witnessed to and shared with, and I'm going to tell you one other one, a rave. You've got to get a special invitation. Now, we were involved in occult crimes, satanic ritual abuse crimes. I was a police chaplain at the time in which they were inviting me to teach in the police academy's course on satanic and occult crimes. We'd heard about an underground rave going on, that there would be Satanists there, that there would be multiple personality disorder chosen ones there. And we were given the address of a bar that was going to be used after hours for this underground rave. We enlisted a few other law enforcement agents that would go in, because if you came there, they would let you in. If we had the certain, we had cards to get in. We went in. It was packed out, 300 or 400 people. There was music going on. There were dancers with their clothes on, but they had snakes around. They literally had snakes around them. At one time during the night, I remember looking over, and probably 6 inches from my shoulder, the snake that was on a woman had reached itself over at least 2 feet came just inches away from my shoulder. It was pretty creepy. There were those that were sitting in chairs with biofeedback glasses on. There were others, Wiccans, and there were skinheads as bouncers. There were people dressed as vampires. There were Satanists there. There were people who were doing things with runestones and psychics with tarot cards and other things. There was just absolutely an underground hodgepodge of pagan well, I don't know what you want to call it, a party. All of a sudden, walking in comes a man dressed in a Catholic priest suit. Only the Catholic priest suit was like a flaming red. You know, the little white frock on the neck. And the priest was handing out, you know, condoms to everybody. He came by me, was trying to hand me a condom. And I looked at him and I said, "Are you really a priest?" And he looked back at me and said, "I can be anything you want me to be." And he said it in a lustful, sexual, oh, it was really horrific. I looked at him and I said, "Well, listen, are you gay? Are you homosexual?" He said, "Yes." And he said, I started talking to him. And we began to talk about the Bible and whatever. And I was pastoring a large church also at the time. I was pretty well known in the area at the time. And this man, as I'm talking to him and sharing with him that, you know, well, you know, because he was going on and on about Bible thumpers and the hate that is out there. And in a very hateful way, he was putting down all kinds of people. And I looked at him and I said, "Well, I love you." And he was shocked. Put his arm on my shoulder and he looked at me and said, "Well, I'm glad you're not like those Bible thumping hypocritical preachers out there." I looked at him and I said, "Listen, let me meet you sometime this weekend for lunch and we'll talk." And I shared Jesus Christ with him right on the spot. And I shared that Jesus Christ could come into his life. You see, my approach, if I just stood there, and I'm going to say this is very, listen, I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not going to be, I pray that God would convict me. A Pharisee would go around with stones ready to destroy any, quote, sinner that they can find. Barring the fact that they're not stoning each other because the Pharisees were the biggest hypocritical sinners around. They were just horrific in what they were all about. But that was what they were all about, condemnation. They were ready to kill and slaughter a woman caught in adultery. Remember when Jesus wrote in the sand? "Whoever of you, you know, did not, you know, have never sinned, you know, cast the first stone." And they all walked away. You see, the Bible's very clear, for all have sinned and fall short. I'm just a sinner that has been forgiven by God and have found that there's a love and a forgiveness and a power and a grace and a right way to live that works, where there's joy, where condemnation and guilt is removed. You see, sin actually does go against nature, against God. It actually does go against conscience so that we feel moral guilt. At this underground rave, we shared Christ with many people. With that gay lesbian task force, we shared Christ. And the president or the head of it eventually came back a year later, seeking to change his entire life and telling me what they had plotted to do. Now, I think that if anybody's going to be fair in journalism, fair in the media, that they need to go visit underground raves, go visit gay lesbian bars, go visit some of these places, go visit where they scream about straight people and call them nothing but breeders. And you're going to find a world of hate speech and plotting and planning. And where the activists are concerned to come out and, again, as we mentioned on Tuesday night, change everything. The goal? Change what? Change the concept of science, the genetics of humanity. That homosexuality, there's a gene and that they're created that way. Well, that, again, is a lie. That's a way, once again, that driven propensity to cover up the conflict of the conscience. You know, some people will drink, some people will do drugs, some people will become angry just to justify and override the conflict in their conscience. Only the blood of Christ can absolutely cleanse and free the conscience from the conflict of real, not psychological, but real moral guilt, regardless. Whether homosexual, adulterer, all the other functions and dysfunctions. Hey, by the way, let me stop quickly. For those who are brand new tonight, this is Russ Dizdar. Check out shatterthedarkness.net on the web. It is there that we're giving away a course that we've done. We had it, I think, up to about 25 hours. There are three links on it that are broken. We can't do anything about that right now. We can't retrieve or get those right now, but we'll work on that later on. But it's about 20 hours or more of sessions, a course, a training course, like a conference, on, and it's called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. Part of the premise is biblical prophecy speaks that in the last days, alongside the ramping up of demonic manifestation, counterfeit spirituality, and massive blanketed deception, will also come a moral decadence, like Rome, but worse. There was a combination in Rome of alternative, counterfeit, spirituality, blood cults, Bacchus, so forth, and also the emperor worship, that had such an enthronement of the dark side that emperors were led to slaughter Christians in the worst of ways. Read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, or a sequel book called By Their Blood. It's absolutely unbelievable what individuals around the world have done, even in the Sudan right now, other parts of the world. What people will do to others, human beings who simply say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Well, in Rome, of course, that didn't go over, and so they wanted to slaughter believers and rip them apart and hang them upside down and burn them and everything else. Well, in Rome, and you read historians, and they're going to tell you, many of them will tell you, that one of the reasons for the decline and fall of the massive Roman Empire was its moral decadence. Now we can go back there and say, can you imagine senators having boys as their sexual toys? But that's what's going on in the United States Congress. And to point it out and to say that it's happening, others will scream, you know, hate speech. Take them off the air. Don't let them tell. Listen, there are so many out there that do not want to be exposed for the things they're doing. They don't want to hear any reason. They don't want to hear any rhyme. They don't want to hear, as we've said already this week, the issue behind homosexuality being abnormal is this. Physiologically and biologically, the parts don't fit. They don't go together. And procreation cannot occur. There is a dysfunction that occurs within sin. And it brings, well, it brings a guilt, a conflict, and it can bring a literal transmutation to a person's personality. Now, a deeper study of that would be Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. That the deeper into sin anyone goes in any levels of sin, literally, your character, your personality, there is a transmutation, and there is an exchange of the natural becoming unnatural, an exchange of the glory of God for connecting to finite created things, an exchange of the truth of God for lies. A massive exchange goes on. That's why we're saying that in Christ, a massive exchange can occur. All of the sin, the sin nature, Satan's right, Satan's works, death, hell, and separation from God, all of that can be taken care of because of what Jesus Christ. Nobody loves the world more than Jesus. Nobody demonstrated it more than Christ. When I told the gay priest at the underground rave that I loved him as a Christian, as a believer, did that mean that I agreed with his sin? No, of course not. You see, I know the verse, John 3:16, John 3:17. In reference to a sinful world, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his only begotten son, that whoever... And that's why I say that religious Pharisees who just shred other people to death and don't offer the gospel, that has nothing to do with the gospel. Nothing to do with the mission of Christ. Jesus Christ would say the same thing to the homosexual that he did to the adulterer. He would do the same thing. You know, who among you that has not sinned cast the first stone? On the other hand, he tells the woman to go and sin no more. Christ came, as the Bible says, John 3:17. You'll love this verse. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. To save adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, atheists, Satanists. To all of you that recon the show, to all of you who listen for whatever the motivation or the agendas, the centrality is, think it through. The concept of homosexual sex doesn't work. It's a dysfunction physiologically and biologically. And there's no procreation. It's not what God created. And so, as we said on Tuesday night, the agenda, in order to free the conscience from guilt, to somehow alter the conscience from telling the individual this is wrong, it doesn't work. To get away from that feeling, there are many activists out there that'll say, well, we'll get rid of that feeling within, that conflict within. We're going to demand that science change, psychology change. We're going to change history, education, politics. We're going to enact laws. We're going to silence people. Anybody who doesn't agree with us, we're going to shut them down. And we're going to change marriage, and we're going to change theology. As a matter of fact, the propensity is so deep, so wide, so broad, that they want to change God. They want to turn God into a gay God. And that's speaking the honest truth. That's simply speaking. And listen, if a gay or lesbian would be listening tonight, don't you see how far it's going? Don't you see how absolutely beyond the pale this is going? That when gays and lesbians can scream at me and throw condoms at me and say Jesus Christ was gay, to say that God created your gayness, to literally turn God, you know, to transmute God. And it's all about trying to clear the conscience. It's all about trying to somehow bring an approval to what within them. See, the conscience won't do it for you. Because it goes against nature. It goes against the created order. It goes against what God said how he made us. It goes against what Jesus said in all of Scripture. Why is it here? Because the world, the humanity, you listening right now, all of us have sinned. And that is transmutation. That is a dysfunction. Some of you listening right now, you don't know God. We weren't meant to not know God. I don't know if you understood that or not. You're not meant in the beginning anyways. You and I were made by special act in majesty, brilliance, and beauty, and we were eternal. There was no disease. There was no dying, aging like this. There was no rape and stealing and cheating and killing, and there was no homosexuality. There was no adultery. There was no pedophilia. There was no necrophilia. There was no bestiality. There was none of this. But when dark spiritual presence came, the fallen cherub engaging the human race, when we spit in the face of God and embraced a lie, just like God said, death would come in. Listen, if you're listening to this voice right now, you're alive, but your physical body is dying and you will die. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. And, you know, you can go to cryonics. You can do all that you can possibly do. You can go to ancient occultism, and you can go to all kinds of things and see if you can live longer. Nothing wrong with trying to live a little longer. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches Old Testament and New that living according to the will of God, the Word of God, can bring, healing to your bones and joy to your life and prolong your life even. It's true. You ever read the book of Proverbs? So in this propensity to justify the conscience, that inside keeps gnawing at the deep sin of anybody. I mean, you might be listening right now and say, well, I'm not a homosexual. I hate homosexuals. Well, that's your choice. But are your sins dealt with? Can it, your sins cut you off from God. And you go, well, the homosexual is a bigger sinner than you. Well, you know what? Sin is sin. Jesus died for sin. The power of what Christ did at the cross is vastly beyond the sum total of all radical, horrific, ugly, filthy sin. You can be forgiven totally, absolutely, eternally, right now. Turn to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to the infinite, loving God that came in human flesh, gave his life for you. See, that's how big sin is. That's how big Satan is. That's how big death and separation from God is. It took God coming in human flesh to live the sinless life, to go to the cross to take your place, that would wield the power of God and be able to bring you back into immediate personal, eternal fellowship with God. You want acceptance? You want love? You want your conscience cleared? You want total forgiveness? You want the gift of eternal life? Then, dear friend, listening to me right now, Jesus Christ, God has come, and this, my dear friend, is my best friend. He is the King of heaven, my King, but he is my best friend. All day today, as I prepare and do other things, I talk with him. He can set you free. Let me mention the three things tonight concerning civil rights, special rights, or neither, and the reason for those demands. The reason for lobbyists in the gay lesbian community to change law, to change education, to change everything, to shut up Christians, to shut up churches, to change the Bible, even to change God. The reason for all of that is to clear the conscience, to somehow stop that internal gnawing feeling presence voice that says, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is abnormal, this is against nature, against God. So there's that drive. I was sitting as a police chaplain in a police academy in Southern Ohio at a training for the International Police Chaplains Association training. I was in a room where half of it was black men, half of it was white men. There were a few women there too. The officer teaching the class brought up the fact of civil rights, the concept of gays and lesbians. They were talking about how law enforcement is trained not to make judgments and to be sensitive to the issues and just deal with crime. As he began to speak about civil rights, a number of the black men, police chaplains and law enforcement people, began to raise their hands and said, listen, black Americans fought for civil rights. Women fought for civil rights under the Constitution. Yes, you're born black or white, red or yellow. Yes, you're born male or female. But it's very clear in science. You can get the book Politics of Truth if you want to. You're not born gay. You're born male or female. And what you do with that and what occurs environmentally, the sin nature, and prophetically, biblically, the end of day, Satan is out to dirty the conscience and morality of humanity, thus opening broader and wider the mind, the conscience, so that this masquerade of globalism can come in. So part of the prophetic satanic scheme is to dirty the world morally, 2 Thessalonians 2, it's right there, to literally dirty the conscience, dirty the moral structure of humanity, which spiritually opens up individuals for deeper and broader deception. And literally blankets an individual more and more and more and more from God. So again, that concept of silence and suppression to the conscience, to the voice of God, by leading people into deeper sinful addictions, let alone counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, and deception. So part of the propensity of the gay lesbian movement in America and other lands would be, you know, we want self-justification. So the goal, we want to be declared, you know, this is a civil rights issue. No, it's not. It's a sexual issue. It's no different than bisexual individuals or individuals, for example, three men and two women all want to marry together. They want to be married together as a group. Is there such thing as group marriage? Because they can come up with the same arguments as two men saying they want to be married. As a matter of fact, there's men and women out there that want to marry their pet. And they're arguing on the basis of that it's a beautiful, loving thing. NAMBLA, North America Man-Boy Love Association, their whole thing is that men, older men, love little 8-year-old and 9-year-old boys. And that it's a love thing. And they're lobbying. And there's lobbying going on for that. I mean, we're talking now, sin driving itself in such a way to lobby, to make political consensus and then an ideology and then law, to outlaw anybody from saying anything. So the concept is the black men and women and others in that meeting in Southern Ohio at the police academy, they were black men and women and very pointedly saying that they don't want the gay lesbian agenda attached to civil rights. That's not a part of what Martin Luther was fighting for. That's not the same as women gaining rights or African Americans gaining rights. So there was a really big, clear consensus that, listen, those of us who really know what it was to have to fight through and gain the civil rights that were due in America, this is what gays, lesbians are using. Gays, lesbians need to know this is what pedophiles, NAMBLA, is also now using. They're using the same arguments. And necrophiliacs will do the same. So the concept it's not even going to stop with civil rights. You know, if America, if a president places a lesbian woman as a judge, Supreme Court justice, if they open the doors to special rights for gays in the military, you're going to see again the doorways, you know, because of the lobbyists and gay lesbian agenda within politics, a small minority pushing that laws be enacted that, number one, that would force the overwhelming majority of people to have to be silenced into saying anything like homosexuality is abnormal, or that it's a sin, or that it's not normal as is regular man-to-woman sex. Gay marriage is not a normal thing at all. Never was, never has been in history. Not created by God. As a matter of fact, in absolute direct opposition to the will of God. Total opposition to the will of God. And so American politicians and American presidents, if they want to slam the door in the face of God and bring damnation into America, then what they will do is make the largest abortion laws in human history, killing babies, and open the door wide to the gates of a small minority demanding that the overwhelming majority and seek to force everyone to agree with them, to change everything. But it's not going to stop there. Just like when I went to the Gay Lesbian Task Force and shared my opinion very kindly and professionally at that meeting, just as I saw people yelling at me hate speech that were filled with venomous hatred, physical, ready to rip me to shreds, and then the plot to come after me, kidnap me, and rape? I'm going to tell you something. Sitting inside the drive for self-justification can be sin building up a sense of anger and violence. Anger and violence to strike out at anyone or anything that brings real conviction. But let me tell you something right now. Real conviction coming to the conscience, to the human being that sins, is a knock at the door that brings the brilliance of the love of God, of the freedom of God, of the eternal gift of life, of the power of God to live a life with joy and peace and love and being right with God. Listen, anyone listening to me right now across the board, I want you to know that Jesus Christ came into the world, was sent by God not to condemn you, but to save you. That if you do not have the Spirit of God inside of your life, if you do not know Jesus Christ, well, Romans 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You're lost. You're already, by your own sin, it's on your own head. And Jesus Christ has come to bring the forgiveness, the deliverance, the healing, and to bring our lives back with His power and with His love and with His grace. And the Bible simply says, listen, to you tonight, I'm saying, anybody, anywhere that calls on the name of the living Christ can be saved. You can come to Christ right now. And I pray to God that you will. I want to say to all the gays and lesbians that by God's providence would listen, that no matter what activists say, you are allowed to get out. I want to say to those that are caught into any kind of habitual sins, you read the book of 1 John, if you're born again by God's power, you will not live in habitual sin. God will help you to break everything away and bring you to freedom. I want every gay and lesbian to know that it's all about your choice. That the Spirit of God would summon you to come to the living Christ, to surrender your life to Christ, the totality of your life to Christ, and yield everything to Jesus Christ, and to seek His presence and power. Don't exchange sexual lust, sexual exploitation and feelings. Don't exchange filth for the glory of God. My dear friends, we've come to the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We'll see you on Friday night at 6 p.m. Good night. And God bless you.